Brew Strong is brought to you by Blickman Engineering, home of the top-tier brewing stand. Visit them online at blickmanengineering.com.
Brewers, it's time for the beer radio you've been looking for. This is the show that dispels myths, tackles the toughest topics, and makes no apologies for geeking out on beer. Hosted by two guys that drink before they think, Jamil Zainashev and John Palmer. This is Brew Strong.
Hey, howdy, hey, my brewing brothers and sisters.
Greetings, Cretans.
Oh, that's a Cretan himself.
Indeed.
How much of a Cretan is that, John Blickman?
He is a top Cretan. He works hard at it. And, yep, known him a long time.
He's a super Cretan.
Yeah, I can vouch for that.
That's why his cape has a giant C on it.
Yep.
Yeah, our good friend John Blickman. Sponsor the show, pays for it so you don't have to. Website, BlickmanEngineering.com. Don't ask me how to spell that. There's a G in there.
Email.
Oh, yeah, email them.
The real email.
Oh, yeah, feedback at BlickmanEngineering.com.
Yeah. The two N's.
Right, there's no N's in feedback.
Right.
No, zero N's. Zero N's. There is a silent K. Yes, in feedback. Email our friend John Blickman. Tell them how much you enjoy their fine products and that they sponsor the show.
Yep. Well, you'll be able to see him next month at the Homebrew Conference.
And they're going to have, I'm sure, some blow-your-mind new widgets and crazy brew gear that just revolutionizes brewing.
Oh, indeed they will.
I mean, that's just how the dude rolls. I think of anybody, he has really revolutionized brewing, really changed how people brew, you know, modernized it,
yeah,
taking it to another level. Yeah, yeah. Rethought it. I could have that on my tombstone. I'd be happy. Which you should be ordering that thing now, I think.
Rethought it?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he rethunk it. He rethunk it before he died. Yeah.
So you've been spending time with, you know, lots of small rodents. I mean, what is the sickness that you
little
have?
Little hantavirus?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. So I have blown probably a good 12 to 14 pounds of nuclear green snot out of my head during the last couple of weeks.
Wow. Hmm. And you caught that in Portland, did you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was fine for Portland. Goddamn Portland. You people in Portland, he's full of diseases. Clearly full of diseases.
Must
touching
the
things.
Ducks.
Yeah. Must be the ducks.
Avian flu, yeah.
Avian flu. It is the bird flu. I have picked up the chicken virus. I knew that police say did not want to go up to Portland, and now I see why. The chicken virus is everywhere. I have the chicken virus. Well, there's the whole norovirus going on now. That makes you vomit and poop for 3 days. So no norovirus.
Clearly, that's not it.
My poops are nice and smooth and normal. I use the squatty potty, my Japanese toilet seat, all that stuff. Coming out beautifully. Good amount of fiber in my diet. Smooth, I'm telling you, smooth. Smooth and regular. Absolutely. So that's not the problem. Yeah.
Is that five cigar a day habit?
It's like a death rattle, man.
Yeah, it is. No, I was really sick. That's why we couldn't do shows last week. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm a week into it. Ah, I should be fine in another week. So, you know, a little like 2.5 weeks after catching this thing, I'm still sick. I'm getting better. My fever is not so bad. What were we talking about? Where are we
going?
Well,
I think we're going to answer some more questions.
We're going to answer questions. All right.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to answer questions. That sounds good. That sounds good. Do you have questions?
I have questions.
Okay.
I've got the questions.
All right.
We got the answers. Cool. All right. There's a Q&A on raw wheat.
Okay.
All right. This is a question on brewing with raw grains, specifically raw wheat. I live in northern Minnesota and have several farming friends who are more than willing to give me grains straight from the grain bins in exchange for a few bottles of the beer. Last year, I had received some raw, unmalted wheat from a good friend's farm and have brewed 3 batches of a wheat beer similar to Blue Moon. Each batch gets better and better as I continue to do further research and learn from the previous batch. But I was just curious if you had any tips or tricks to get even better results. From how to overcome the difficulty of milling the grains, to getting decent extract from the grain during mash, multi-step mashing, etc.
Add enzymes.
To what to expect from the flavor in the end compared to the malted product. Thanks again.
Almost all your flavor comes from the malting process. There's not a whole lot of flavor from unmalted grains. So, if you want more extract or more efficient process, you can add in enzymes. There's enzymes that'll chew that stuff up for you. As for milling, just get a better mill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's an ironic question. I mean, because it points up all the reasons that man started malting in the first place to overcome all these difficulties. Raw barley, like raw wheat, is just, rock hard. But after it's malted, now it's, friable, it's crushable. Getting better extract. Again, the malting process unlocks the endosperm where the starches are, makes those starches more accessible to enzymes. You get better conversion, better extraction. And as you say, the flavor that we look for in beer, a lot of that comes from the malting process. The microbes that are active during the malting process, the kilning process where it's toasted afterward, dried and toasted afterward, that's where a lot of the flavor development comes from. So it's, I'm glad, that you're getting good results. It's nice to get a question where you're having good results instead of bad results with the beer process. I think you're doing what you can. As you say, multi-step mashing can, with a protein rest in this case to help further break up the endosperm in the raw wheat would help improve your extract. As Jamil says, adding extra enzymes to the mash would also help break that up and improve your yield.
Yep, there you go. You could learn to malt yourself.
Yep, lots of fun.
Get yourself a giant warehouse space and spread out all on the floor, turn it daily.
Mm-hmm. Or just use the garage.
Use the garage. Yeah, you don't need to park cars there.
Yeah.
Try not to include the rodents into your beers. Things like that, yeah. Malt your own. All right. Let's do this. Let's take a short break. And when we come back, we'll have more of your questions right after this.
Are you looking for a simple brewing system that's great for all grain brewing, but everything on the market seems to be full of compromises? Blickman Engineering has the answer. The Blickman Brew Easy All Grain Brewing System. The Brew Easy is a complete system with easy upgrades and a beautiful compact design, perfect for any size brewing location. At its core, the Brew Easy is built on 2 gorgeous Blickman Boilermaker brew kettles, a high temperature March pump, and either a top tier gas burner or the new Boil Coil electric heater. The Brew Easy easy adapter lid allows the pots to stack on top of each other, forming an efficient, strong, and compact brewing setup that comes in 5, 10, and 20-gallon batch sizes. Upgrade your BrewEasy system with full automated control by adding a Blickman Tower of Power temp controller, and make moving around easy with the Blickman Kettle Cart. The BrewEasy is modular. If you already own a Boilermaker kettle, you can build your BrewEasy by purchasing just the modules you need. The new BrewEasy all-grain brewing system. See it today at BlickmanEngineering.com and brew with Blickman quality on your new BrewEasy.
Since the first time the Brewing Network microphones turned on, More Beer was behind it. More Beer sponsors the programming on the BN because, like you, they love brewing. And like the Brewing Network, they love sharing their knowledge. MoreBeer.com isn't just a website to place your next equipment or ingredient order. MoreBeer.com also gives you access to free beer information that will make you a better brewer. Go to MoreBeer.com and click into the Learning Center. You'll find podcasts, technical facts, video tutorials, and more, including access to The Buzz, More Beer's social network of more than 5,000 members. And some of them might even be crazier about beer than you are. Get over to MoreBeer.com today and take advantage of The Buzz, the forum, the Learning Center, and make sure you're signed up to receive the newest More Beer catalog. More Beer, bringing you absolutely everything for beer making.
Hey guys, what'll it be?
I'm not sure. What do you recommend?
A lot of people seem to like the Hefeweizen.
Is that a German Hefeweizen or more of an American-style wheat beer?
I'm not sure, but I can give you a taste.
Okay, great. Great.
The Cicerone Certification Program certifies and educates beer professionals in order to elevate the beer experience for consumers. Unfortunately, not every bar is staffed with certified beer servers who can guide their customers through a beer list.
Here you go, guys. Let me know what you think of the Hefeweizen.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely more of an American wheat. But I can hardly tell because this beer just smells like sour butter. I wonder how long it's been since they cleaned the draft lines.
Yeah, and look at the bubbles on the side of the glass. It's filthy.
Somebody should tell these guys about the Cicerone program.
For sure. How about we head somewhere else for another beer?
Your server should give beer the same respect you do. Request quality. The Cicerone certification program offers 4 levels of beer certification, in-person classes, and course books for beer professionals. Check them out at Cicerone.org. The Cicerone Certification Program. We know beer.
Since 1979, Williams Brewing has offered the finest equipment and freshest ingredients and the best customer service in the business. Check out their brand new patent-pending mash and boil 110-volt electric mashing and boiling unit. This compact all-stainless unit lets you mash, sparge, and boil just about anywhere that has a 110-volt plug. Double wall construction adds to efficiency and safety, and a precise thermostat keeps temperatures where you want them. Unlike insulated buckets and converted coolers, multiple temperature rest mashing is easy to do, all for under $300. They also feature the Mark II work pump, a magnetic drive high temperature pump that does the work of pumps that cost twice as much, as well as exclusive Brewer's Edge regulators and quality Keg King kegs and disconnects. Check them out today at williamsbrewing.com to bruise their vast selection.
Back to the beer guys that make other beer guys look like wine guys. Brew strong.
All right, we're back. Great Fermentations. Hey, how about
great
those folks
fermentations.
At Great Fermentations?
They are.
Are they great for folks at Great Fermentations? I'm going to go visit them in Indiana. In June, after the conference. Yeah. I'm going to swing by there and say hi. Say howdy.
They are definitely great people there.
Yeah. And, you know, like the great people they are, they great customer service, quick shipping. You know, most of the things that they have, it ships the same day. And they're giving away tons of stuff. You have a chance to win 15 years worth of brewing ingredients and a Blickman BrewEasy all grain brewing system. Huh? How about that? 15 years worth of your brewing right there,
wow.
Including the equipment. Porno Steve, have you signed up for this?
No. I should.
Too much effort? Too much effort to get $10,000 worth of free stuff?
Stupidest thing I've signed up. Right, I know.
You youngins these days. Yeah. In my day, sick or not, I showed up for work. They're going to announce it.
I always show up for work.
Saturday, June 17th.
In a ticket booth, there's not a whole lot you can do. So.
That's right. And also, they're giving away random prizes, random giveaways. They're doing random drawings for prizes. They're not random prizes. They are drawings.
Random drawings for great prizes.
At a given time for great prizes every 2 weeks leading up to the close of the competition. So stuff like conical fermenters, temperature controllers, Riptide brew pump from Blickman. Lots of great stuff. So check it out. GreatFermentations.com/giveaway. And I'll see you there in June. I guess June 24th. I'm going to be there. My birthday is June 26th. So you can come and say happy birthday.
I'll do that.
There you go. All right. Next question.
All right. This one's about the last third of fermentation. A number of times, I've heard Jamil recommend increasing the temperature during fermentation in order to keep the yeast active, especially during the last third of fermentation.
Uh-huh.
How do you determine when fermentation is two-thirds complete? I know there's a great deal of subjectivity involved, but I'm hoping for the best objective, measurable guidelines you can offer. For example, if I'm fermenting a 1.080 wort that I expect to reach a final gravity of 1.014, does the last third of fermentation start at around 1.036, which is 44 points into the expected total of 66? Thanks.
Well, yes and no. I think you could do it that way, but I think the answer is no. That is not going to be where you get the slowdown. Really, the reason I recommend this is we're talking more like the growth and acceleration phase. That's the first third. There's the phase in the middle where it's just ripping along, right? That's the second third.
The plateaus.
Yeah. And then the last third is where it starts to trend down and slow down. This is going to happen probably later than the given example. It would probably be further down in the points.
So 10, 20, say.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it's hard to say on a given beer, certain pitch of yeast, nutrients, oxygen, so many, you know, temperature, so many different things. Yeast strain play a big role in this. So what I am trying to encourage people to do is pay attention to the fermentation. And you'll see, you know, initially you'll see fermentation pick up. And then you'll be like, oh, yeah, it's ripping. Oh, wow, yeah. And you look at it every day. And then one day you're like, hey, it's not ripping like it was. It's starting to slow down.
And that's the third.
That's the third where you raise the temperature. Does that make sense? So those, yes. It's like three phases. During the third phase, that's when you want to do it. And I call that the last third. But it's not the last third of gravity points. It's going to be much further along in gravity points. It may be like the last eighth or something, or the last.
It might be hard to
sixth.
Like mathematically
right.
get an actual
right.
number.
Right. And so I think people are overthinking. It's like in mash temperature. Just get in there, you know, somewhere in the sacrification range. That's fine. You're going to be fine with it. Don't worry about it. In this case, you know, what you're trying to achieve is keeping the yeast from slowing down and stopping. Give them a little more heat, encourage them to continue working, keep them active so that they finish up the latter processes that tend to take a longer time. Diacetyl reduction, acetaldehyde, things like that. There you go. That makes sense, John?
It does indeed.
I can barely understand what I'm saying at this point.
Well, you're coming through loud and clear.
All righty.
Yeah. Okay. Facial expressions could be worked on, but voice is fine.
We got one last question.
Last question. My last. All right. It may be my last question. What's the last question there, Porno Stevie?
Hello, royal asshats of the highest order.
Uh-huh.
Suppose I were brewing a pale ale with 100% RO water and 100% 2-row with the pH adjusted using acidulated malt to 5.2. Is there any reason to add salts to the mash tun, or should I reserve salt additions for the boil kettle? Thank you for all you do.
Ryan, I don't think that would work out.
Yeah, I would say you need to add salts to the mash tun as well. RO water, you don't have... I mean, the malt has ions that will dissolve in, but it's good for the water to have calcium and other ions as well. Help things get started. Provide enzyme cofactors that are needed, stuff like that.
Yeah, the only time I think you could get away with brewing with RO or distilled water by itself would be maybe with extract.
Right.
Other than that, no. You have to have those minerals in there. Even just for fermentation's sake. If you were to do something like that, I can guarantee you there's not enough zinc in that mash to calcium or
magnesium,
well, things like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's some in the malt, but, just going to be an issue.
Yeah.
And just proper buffering and just, not good for you.
Yep. Better with the minerals than 100% RO. Although it works. Mm-hmm. I mean, you will still make beer, but you'll make better beer with added minerals.
There you go. That was the last question? All right. Let me see here. I am so coordinated at this point. It is awesome.
Smooth.
Smooth like the inside of a catalyst fermenter. That's how smooth I am. The catalyst fermenter is from the folks at Craft a Brew. They have come up with a plastic that is over 90% more scratch resistant than other plastics used in conical fermenters and 71% less oxygen permeable. They created a low profile stand that makes it easy and lightweight to put on the counter, put in your fridge. It's not some giant gangly thing. It's compact. Allows you to move it around. And cleaning's a breeze because the whole entire top snaps off. You're not trying to jam your hand through some tiny little hole in the top. The whole lid comes off. You easily reach in there and properly clean all those little crusties off of there. And they've outfitted it with a giant 3-inch butterfly valve on the bottom. You can screw in any mason jar and catch your pitch of yeast just like that. So pretty cool. And lightweight, temperature resistant. You can actually, I think you can hit this thing with boiling liquid, which means, or at least you can pasteurize the thing. So even if you were to somehow get a scratch in this thing, no problem. The heat will kill it. So check them out, craftabrew.com for the catalyst fermenter. Really cool, cool product. I think a nice innovation. All right, let's take a short break. When we come back, we will be discussing temperature versus pitching rate. Is that it, John?
Yeah.
All right. My short-term memory isn't completely shot.
That's right.
We'll be back right after this.
If you work in retail sales, the restaurant industry, or are a new craft beer enthusiast, or you know someone who is, you have got to check out Beer 101. Beer 101 is an online course created for anyone wanting a quick introduction to the vast world of craft beer. Beer 101 covers the history of beer, brewing ingredients and processes, vital stats like ABV, SRM, IBU and gravity, styles, tasting, glassware, and pairing beer with food. The Beer 101 course is offered by the Brewers Association at craftbeer.com, also home to the truly awesome Beer Style Finder, a visual guide to every beer style. Quickly play with color, bitterness, and alcohol content to interactively explore the entire world of beer styles with a gorgeously designed interface to your favorite beverage. The new Beer 101 course and new Beer Style Finder are only available at craftbeer.com. Craftbeer.com, celebrating the best of American beer.
Hey there, beer. Canadian Army, have you heard the latest at HopTech? Since HopTech has doubled in size after a huge expansion, Jade and Roberto can stock even more of the best quality homebrewing supplies and equipment. Over 60 kick-ass varieties of hops and malts, monster truckloads of quality brewer's yeast, including White Labs, Y yeast, and multiple dry yeasts. They even have all grain systems from Grainfathers and Ruby Street Brew Systems, thanks to Jade, the brand new all-grain brewer. And don't forget about their 10% discount to all BN Army members. Jade and Roberto are waiting for you and all of your brewing questions over at HopTech.com. HopTech, totally not sucking since 1983.
Hey, my brewing brothers and sisters. This is Jamel Zainashev, and I want to tell you about Heretic Evil Twin. You might be familiar with my homebrew recipe, which uses massive late hopping to create a balance between the malty sweet and the hoppy bitter, along with an outrageous malt and hop character. I wanted a beer with the same bold hop and malt character, so we played around with the homebrew recipe until we were able to make a great commercial version, too. We've created a beer rich in malt character, full of caramel, toast, biscuit, and an ever-so-subtle roast note. On top of that, we piled in an insane amount of Citra and Columbus hops at the end of the boil, as well as in dry hopping. This damn-the-cost approach to hopping gives Heretic's Evil Twin a great blast of citrus and tropical fruit that can't be matched by any other hop. The result is a bold, malty, hoppy, but easy-drinking beer. This is our top seller, our flagship beer, and I couldn't be prouder of it. Cheers.
To find Heretic beers near you, click on Find Some at hereticbrewing.com.
First Amendment.
Watch out!
Do you like beer?
They make beer.
Watch out! Do you like friends and fun? They make friends and fun.
Watch out!
Do you still like to have a good time? The 21st Amendment.
Watch out!
The 21st Amendment in San Francisco, located at 563 2nd Street, two blocks from the building where baseball is seen and played. Try their beers in the pub or try them in the can, featuring
Monk's Blood.
Made with real monk.
Watch out!
So why not have the best time of your life? Go to the 21A and Sean O'Sullivan will personally greet you with a can of
Monk's Blood. The 21st Amendment.
Watch out!
This advertisement is not in any way affiliated nor associated with the 21st Amendment Bar and Pub, nor its subsidiaries or affiliates. This telecast is not copywritten by the 21st Amendment for the private use of the Brewing Network. Any use of this telecast without Jamil Zainashev's consent is prohibited. Suck it, JP.
Are you a member of the White Labs Customer Club? If not, you should be. It's the easiest way to earn free stuff for turning in your old homebrew labels from either Vials or Pure Pitch. All you have to do is save your labels and redeem them for things like free yeast, an exclusive White Labs t-shirt or sweatshirt, and even the opportunity to brew with the yeast man himself, Chris White. Signing up is easy. Just go to whitelabs.com/customer club, fill out the registration form, and then mail in your labels. They will return the favor by sending you awesome White Labs swag. Go sign up today at whitelabs.com/customer club. White Labs, pure yeast and fermentation since 1995.
Back to the two guys that know how to turn beer into beer. This is Brew Strong.
All right, we're back.
We are back.
You wanted to talk about pitching rate versus temperature.
Yeah. And the reason that I wanted to talk about this was that over the last couple months on Brewlosophy, brewlosophy.com, if you're familiar with that, they have done a number of side-by-side experiments where they have brewed the same beer and the same yeast, fermenting the same wort, in other words, split wort, at different temperatures, and conducted their triangle tests. And in many cases, they did not reach statistical significance with their blind tasters being able to differentiate the two beers from one another. And this is interesting because you and I are brewers of much experience, and I think we would agree that fermentation temperature control is a critical factor in a good fermentation. Pitching rate is certainly another. In how to brew, I kind of rank them, and I put fermentation fermentation temperature control higher than pitching rate. What is your feeling on this experience and so on?
Well, I mean, everything's interrelated, and I think the problem I see a lot of times in home brewing is people will glom on to some bit of information and exclaim that, you know, and then they start to worry that, you know, like mash temperature. It's like, oh my God, will you people just let go of mash temperature, for God's sakes? People are like, it was supposed to be 152. It came in at 153. I've ruined the whole batch. It's going to be horrible. Oh my God. And it's like, oh, you know, just let it go. It's fine. That's good. That's perfect. Don't worry.
Yeah. Beer is made.
A few degrees off, you're not going to notice a difference. Same thing in fermentation. We're not talking about it, if fermentation has to, and there's people who are like, I want to control it to, you know, 0.01 of a degree and keep that temperature exactly the same. It's like, eh, you know, 1 degree is fine. A couple of degrees is fine. What you're trying to do is avoid getting your fermentation hot at the beginning, because your environmental area is hot, and then it crashing afterwards. Because there's no longer the heat of fermentation being created. That ends up crap beer, because you're not attenuating fully. You don't clean up things like, you know, diacetyl, acetaldehyde, all that stuff. You end up with a bad beer. What you want is to keep your temperature steady, because otherwise you're going to end up with that kind of variation. And that's the thing about temperature control. Doesn't mean it has to be, you know, a half a degree. How much temperature difference were they doing?
Well, in some cases it was smaller, but they had a couple where they went, oh gosh, the difference between like 65 and 85, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, 65 and 85, you should be able to taste the difference in that. And it depends a lot on the yeast. Certain yeast will produce, you know, more of a difference given a temperature range like that. But 65, 85, I can guarantee you the compounds that are produced in that beer are substantially different, the levels of certain compounds. White Labs, I know, did some testing of things like even California ale yeast and the amount of acetaldehyde that was produced versus temperature, and it's huge. There definitely makes a difference. Now, I don't know what kind of tasters they got. I don't know what kind of beer it was, if they were masking it with a lot of hop additions and things. A lot of times people can't taste these compounds and don't really know what they're tasting. So that could be part of it. Hard to say. But yeah, 65, 85, you should be able to taste a difference. 65, 67, eh. 65, 68, you know, it starts getting questionable. You know, a few degrees can change the amount of attenuation. It can change a lot of little things.
I think broadly that agrees with their findings. Like I said, they had some where there were smaller differences, and it's probably good to point out that, or as you mentioned, you know, we're dealing with a group of individuals, varying size, different groups of individuals who may or may not be trained beer tasters, BJCP judges, certainly even within BJCP certified national judges, that people have different sensitivities to different compounds.
The number of times people go, oh, this is full of diacetyl. I'm like, no, I don't really taste it. I'm not that sensitive to it. unless I look for it. And then, you know, because I don't mind it like English beers.
Right.
But I just had some. I'm like, look, let's get it tested.
Yeah.
Sure enough, extremely low levels.
Yeah. In the most recent experiment they did, they compared a steady fermentation temperature of 65, mm-hmm. Or maybe it was 70, with one that had been varied considerably between mm-hmm. 65 and 85. Like every 12 hours, they would heat it and then cool it, heat it and cool it. They just missed statistical significance with that one. I guess 10 versus 11
hours,
people.
I don't know. See, and that's kind of unrealistic. Mm-hmm. And, you know, are they measuring the actual beer? And how are they changing the temperature of the beer by 20 degrees? Are they changing the room temperature 20 degrees?
I believe it was with active control, active, you know.
Yeah. How are they heating it up 20 degrees?
Yeah.
How are they cooling it back down 20 degrees? That sounds suspicious to me. I mean, if it's room temperature, then that doesn't mean anything. But the tendency in fermentation, in uncontrolled fermentation, is that the temperature rises at the beginning. First off, people don't chill their wort enough, and they start out warm. And then they pitch this yeast in there, and it gets up into the 80s or whatever, and it's sitting up there because the yeast is active. And then they're just like, oh, yeah, I put it in my 65-degree room because that's, you know, the temperature I want to ferment at. And then the yeast activity starts to fall off, and then it just plummets because there's no more heat being generated. And then you've stopped fermentation early. And then
with lots of byproducts.
Right. Byproducts and not as attenuated as well.
Right.
I don't know. I'd have to look at it to see. Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess the second aspect of the question is, mm-hmm. you know, in your experience, you know, with Heretic and so on, have you seen a hierarchy in terms of fermentation temperature versus pitching rate? Or, as you say, are they more interrelated than that? You know, could be 50-50, could be 51-49 kind of relationship.
Well, pitching rate is also, you know, quite important, at least to get the minimum amount. I think that you know, as long as you get the minimum amount in there that the yeast need for that fermentation, I think.
And it'd be strain dependent too.
Yeah, it's strain dependent. It's depending on the wort. It's depending on nutrients. It's depending on so many different things. Yeah. It's dependent on the amount of free amino nitrogen, having not too much and not too little. It's dependent on, you know, zinc. It's dependent on oxygen. It's dependent on some other compounds or, you know, some other minerals that are necessary. It's dependent on the makeup of the wort. I've used this example, and feel free to use this in the next version of How to Brew. Just make sure you credit me for it.
I will.
Look at a wort as like a mountain made of rocks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Those rocks could be tiny little rocks. They could be huge boulders, right?
Right.
The type of the size of the rocks you have are based on your mash, right?
Okay.
Kind of enzymatic action you had, or whoever made the extract that you're using. That's going to determine kind of the size of those boulders. Well, the yeast come along, and you know, the small boulders are easy to pick up. You know, their job is to get rid of this mountain of boulders. And they come up, and they're like, well, the easiest thing to get rid of is the small ones. You know, they say, start picking up the small ones and tossing them. It'd be like, you know, my guys at my brewery, they're going to take the easiest job first. And, you know, they'll toss all those little tiny boulders and rocks and get those out of the way first. And then they're going to move on to the next size, biggest boulders, right?
Right.
See, isn't this sounding pretty good? Pretty good analogy,
it does,
huh?
Yes.
And then so they start working on some of those bigger boulders and taking those away. eventually, there are some boulders, they just can't move. They're not strong enough. And so those are kind of your residual sugars left behind in the wort. The yeast just can't handle them. Certain yeast can handle different ones or a little bit better. And that's why the makeup of the mountain is important. All right. So now, how many yeast you've applied to clear this mountain? When you put more, there can be, some rocks that are lost in between these big rocks as well. You know, they're not going to get they've got a certain amount of work hours in the day. And, when quitting time comes, the yeast are going to quit.
Yeah.
If you make the conditions really nice for them, maybe they work a little longer for you. If you make the conditions hard, maybe they quit early. You know, they get too cold all of a sudden. They're just like, I'm quitting. You know, they put their jackets on, they go home. And you haven't cleaned up as much as you thought. If you have more yeast, then each yeast needs to pick up fewer of the boulders, of the rocks. And so it goes quicker. They're able to get more of them. They'll pick up some of the little fine stuff that, they would have left behind and said, oh, those don't matter. They'll start sweeping up the dust too, because there's more of them. There's one to push the broom, right? So that would be, providing more. If you provided less, it's going to take them longer to clear this mountain of boulders. And they may not be able to get it all done, because there's not enough of them to lift some of these heavier boulders. So that's another possibility. Now, turning up the heat is like, you've got your number of yeast, your number of employees, and then you're putting the whip to them. And you're saying, work faster, and you're beating them, right? And you could beat them when they've got a lot of them there. You can beat them when there's very few of them there. The more you turn up the heat, the more you're beating on them and making them work harder, the more they're going to sweat. They're going to sweat out these compounds that are going to affect the flavor of your beer. So, that's another aspect to look at. Now, let's see, where else did I go with this analogy? There's the other way of turning up the heat is, you go with, fewer yeast. And you keep the temperature the same, and you go with lesser and lesser yeast, and you're just begging them to kind of do the job. They're going to sweat more, too. They're going to, they're trying to do what you want. And they're going to sweat more, but there's fewer of them. Again, they're not going to get the thing done. But I think there's something to this analogy that really kind of explains the whole looking at wort and yeast and the interaction. The nutrients that you give yeast, make sure you got enough zinc. I'll tell you, if you have fermentations that slow down or are sluggish at the end, it's almost always a lack of zinc. And it's very common in home brewing to lack zinc.
What zinc addition do you recommend?
We're using zinc monohydrate. BSG sells heptahydrate from Murphy's.
Okay.
You need to use a little bit more because it's got more water in it.
Okay.
It's a microscopic amount. In a 30-barrel batch, we're throwing in like 5 or 6 grams of monohydrate.
Right.
Making sure you have enough zinc, make sure the nutrients, those are kind of like the meals that you're giving your employees, right? So they're there, they're working, and if you start them off with a good breakfast, oxygen, proper nutrients, then, they're gonna work better for you. They're gonna be able to last longer throughout the day and work longer throughout the day. If you give them, some protein and, this other things that, their bodies can work on throughout the day, the employees, they're going to be able to work later into the night. Same thing for yeast. You got to have all the appropriate nutrients available for them. If you give them, an imbalanced diet, if you're giving them, a ton of sugar, to children, and then they start flipping out. Right. Same thing will happen to yeast. It's like too much free amino nitrogen. you can get excessive growth, like your diacetyl levels can shoot up. There's a lot of different things that impact fermentation character and you know, the final character of the beer, everything, you know. And we were talking in the previous show about head retention. Well, you want good head retention, have good fermentation. You know, that's one of the keys to good head retention.
Yeah, poor fermentation would result in an imbalanced lipids. Mm-hmm. And the yeast wouldn't take them up, and lipids are very bad for head retention. Kind of breaks the bubbles.
But you know, getting back to temperature, so a common thing I will get from people is like, well, all right, so I don't have enough yeast. Can I just up the temperature? And, you know, it doesn't quite work that way. Like I said, I mean,
different beer.
Yeah. I don't think you can swap one for the other. I don't think there is any real way to overcome a lack of yeast. Now, people are like, well, it ferments fine. It's like, well, did it ferment? Yes. Was that the best ferment you could have? Is that the best beer you could make? No, it wasn't. And I think a lot of times people are unconvinced at this point because they think their beer's fine and they haven't tried it with, you know, an appropriate healthy pitch of yeast. I think the people who do, they're kind of surprised. You know, same thing with temperature control. They're kind of surprised at how good it is. And they stick with it. And those are the ones who end up winning all these competitions and things.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah. I don't know. I think
it sounds like, I mean, really, fermentation, temperature control, and pitching rate, you can't say one's more important than the other. They're equally important. They're equally, and yeast nutrition is another aspect that is equally important for a good, strong fermentation.
Right, right. Yeah. When I was in Malmo at the Craft Brewers Conference there, which will be on in March again this year, everyone who lives in Europe should be going to this darn thing. Everyone that brews beer in Europe should be going. It's not very far. It's not very expensive. It's a fantastic conference. And if you're not going, and they do it all in English, mm-hmm. you know, if you're not going, you're missing out. I'm shocked. I mean, I see a lot of Swedish people there, and they are very passionate about quality beer. I mean, do you people in the rest of the countries around there not care? I don't know. I think you're missing out on an awesome time. Really well done. But this last year was about fermentation and yeast. So they had a guy from VLB, they had trolls from White Labs, and they had myself as speakers. And I mean, we just went over every last aspect of fermentation, how to improve your fermentations and your process for a full day. And I guarantee you people got their money's worth. I mean, yep. If they didn't, then they were sleeping during while we were all talking. It was really, I was impressed with that, the content of that. You know what else I think is impressive is the AHA homebrew conference. There's a lot of good information in that.
Yeah. We're going to have over 80 speakers this year.
80 speakers. Heavyweights, I hear. I think they called us all fat. I don't know.
Well, I'm not speaking per se, so.
Okay. Well, neither am I, so there you go.
But I will be doing book signings every day.
Same here. So, same here. I'm signing books. I'm drinking. I'm just taking it easy. I got to go to Chicago after that, and I got to go to Indianapolis after that. But I'm just so glad that my good friend Peter is coming over from Australia. We're going to head out there. And we're not going to drive the RV this time, though.
No tornadoes this time.
Definitely not. All right. If you are not an AHA member, you need to sign up. Homebrewers Conference, June, I'm going to say 14th through the 17th.
Yes.
is an awesome time. You should be there. You should be an AHA member. Look out for homebrewers and homebrewers' rights. So make sure you sign up. Get the great Zymergy magazine, all the other benefits, the Brew Guru app, all that stuff, rallies. If you can't make the membership pay for itself, then you're not trying. You don't go out of the house and you don't buy food and beer. But if you do, you'll make it. If you go to one of the rallies, that generally pays for the membership right there. I know ours at Heretic does, so there you go. All right, let's take a short break. When we come back, we'll wrap up with whatever we were talking about. We'll wrap it up right after this break.
Brewing great beer is a process of continuous learning, and the best books on every aspect of brewing can be found at Brewers Publications, with more than 50 awesome titles like Modern Homebrew Recipes by Gordon Strong, Designing Great Beers, The Ultimate Guide to Brewing Classic Beer Styles by Ray Daniels, American Sour Beers, Innovative Techniques for Mixed Fermentations by Michael Tonsmeyer, For the Love of Hops, The Practical Guide to Aroma, Bitterness, and the Culture of Hops by Stan Hieronymus, and Radical Brewing, Recipes, Tales, and World-Altering Meditations in a Glass by Randy Mosher, plus many, many more. These are the books and the authors with the knowledge to push your brewing farther than you thought possible. And you'll find them all at fine homebrew and book retailers everywhere. And visit the website at brewerspublications.com. Brewers Publications, all the best on beer and brewing.
Your support of the Brewing Network means everything to us. We couldn't produce shows without you. And we love giving you something extra for that support, like Brew Your Own magazine. You already know it's a great brewing magazine full of recipes, equipment how-tos, discussions of beer styles, and brewing techniques. Whether you're new to brewing and just starting out, or you're an old pro, you'll always learn something from the articles in Brew Your Own. Plus, there are amazing special issues like plans for building a Brutus 10 system, 250 classic clone recipes, and the Homebrewer's Answer Book. Brew Your Own magazine and BYO.com are awesome resources for any brewer, whether for yourself or as a gift. When you subscribe or resubscribe from the Brewing Network homepage, you directly support programs like this. Get a great magazine and support the Brewing Network. Subscribe to Brew Your Own right from the BrewingNetwork.com.
Learning to brew has never been so disgusting. This is Brew Strong.
All right, John. I'll tell you what somebody needs to come up with. It's like a brew lab for, like, yeast nutrients and pitching rates and things like that.
Oh, yeah, that'd be good.
Because that brew lab kit, we got the professional version at Heretic, but it's essentially the same ingredients in a smaller size kit, and it's fantastic. We're able to check our water. We don't have to wait a week for results. We get the results right there. That morning, you can have your results before you start your brew day. If your water varies, which in most municipalities it certainly does, especially throughout the year, you could check your water right before you brew and know what's in there. If you're one of those people that uses mineral salts to adjust your water. Boom, right there. And even if you're starting with distilled or RO water and you're using mineral salts to adjust your water, you can check your results and see that, yes, indeed, everything is turning out the way you're expecting it to. The per-test cost is far lower than sending it off to a lab. So
I
highly
bucks.
Recommend it. Yeah. It's cheap and well worth it. For all the... that people do for, to try and make great beer. It's just one of those simple things that, you wouldn't try and make beer without a hydrometer.
Right.
I think it's a useful tool. I highly recommend it. And you get that from Lamotte.com or from some of your better homebrew shops will have that as well.
Yep.
All right.
The Brew Lab.
The Brew Lab from Lamotte. And they've got like a Brewlab Plus that even includes a really nice pH meter. pH meter my guys love. All right. So let's wrap up our thoughts on this subject of temperature, pitching rate, nutrients.
Mm-hmm. Fermentation in general, yeah. You know, so even though people's experience varies, I think it's safe to say that fermentation temperature is important to the outcome of the beer.
Uh-huh.
Pitching rate is also an important factor, and as well as wort nutrition or yeast, the nutrients in the wort that the yeast will partake of.
Right.
All very important factors for producing a consistent beer. Depending on yeast strain, depending on lots of factors going on at any one time in a particular brew, temperature variation may have a greater or lesser effect on the outcome of the beer, batch to batch. But I think it's the thing to keep in mind is that these are your control points, for consistency in brewing and control in brewing. So, fortunately, the brewing process is a pretty robust process.
Very forgiving.
Yeah. But especially as you get to the pro level, like Jamil, where you want to produce a consistent beer year round. This batch tastes like the next batch, tastes like the last batch. Understanding how these controls work for you is critically important.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, and I would say that having more yeast present and having proper nutrition present may overcome some of the effects of a higher fermentation temperature.
Yeah.
And
because you get better maturation that way.
Yeah, may overcome the effects of a lower fermentation temperature as well. Mm-hmm. May, mitigate the impact of a higher or lower temperature than ideal for your purposes.
I think that's fair to say.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just supposing. I don't have any hard and fast evidence on that, but I think that's from what I know, I think that could be true. There you go.
There you go. Voice of experience.
The voice of, I wouldn't say reason. The voice of the damned? Yes. From the voice of the damned.
And the very tired.
And the very tired and the very sick. All right. I think another fine show. I like your idea for topic there. I think that was some good information, good discussion there, John.
Cool. Thanks.
As always, make sure you check out our fine sponsors, especially BlickmanEngineering.com. Check them out. Send your emails thanking John Blickman at feedback@BlickmanEngineering.com. Tell him how much you enjoy the show. He's a real good guy. You'll see him out at the Homebrewers Conference. Make sure to say hi, shake his hand, tell him thank you. He appreciates it. He's a very humble guy, and he gets a big kick out of knowing that people enjoy what he does. He puts a lot of passion and pride into his work. And check out Great Fermentations. I'll be out there in Indianapolis in June. Come out and see me. Say hi. Come see John and I at the conference. If you see us standing there, just come up and start talking to us. Unless we're in the restroom, then just give us a minute, please. Speaking of restrooms, check out the fine stuff in the brewingnetwork.com/store right now. They've got a special on urinal cozies with logo. They are currently half price on urinal cozies. The snowboard sale is over. Cleared out all the snowboards, so if you don't see them in the store, you just missed them. But the urinal cozies, those are on sale this time. Go check them out. Really, you're not going to want to miss out on that. Till then, everybody, brew strong.
Brew strong, my friends.